The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with Derek Dorch of the Diversa Group, which is entirely responsible for its content.
Welcome to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch. Derek walks you through how to win government jobs, effectively manage your government career, and best utilize government services. Every week on Fed Access, you'll learn about interesting federal agencies, workers, and careers. Fed Access provides you the access you need to succeed in the federal government. And now your host, Derek T. Dorch.
Welcome to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Thank you for stopping by the show. We are always glad to have you. And today we're going to be talking about something interesting. As you know, it's February, and February has been designated as Black History Month. It's been that way for quite some time, but we're going to talk about Black History Month as it relates to the National Park Service. The National Park Service has a lot of great resources out there and a lot of great things that are out there that most people don't know about. A number of different museums that really kind of cover the legacy of Black history in our country, and we're going to be talking about that today. We've got on the phone with us the superintendent of one of the newest National Park Service's acquisitions, the Charles Young Buffalo Soldiers National Monument. Well, we've got the superintendent, Dr. Joy Kennard, on the phone with us. She's been with the Park Service for over 20 years and has been really kind of working throughout the ranks, helping to keep sites alive and keep that history alive and really kind of talk about our nation's history, but also Black history as well. Dr. Kennard, thank you for being on the show.
Thank you for having me, Derek. I really appreciate you offering up this time to talk about national parks and Black History Month.
Outstanding. Thank you so much. You know, I was looking at this article about the range of the Park Service and a number of different sites that the Park Service has as it relates to Black history. Can you talk to us about, you know, just the coverage and some of the interesting sites that maybe people know and maybe people don't know about?
Derek, you will be happy to know that there are 18 African-American sites that actually have African-American themes. You have the African-American Civil War Memorial, the African Burial Ground National Monument, the Booker T. Washington National Monument, the Boston African-American Historic Site, the Brown versus the Board of Education National Historic Site, the Carter G. Woodson Home there in Washington, D.C., the father of Black history.
Right.
The Charles Young site, of course, mine, the home of the renowned Frederick Douglass. His home is a national park. George Washington Carver National Monument, Little Rock Central High School, the Magdalena Walker Home, the Dr. King Memorial in Washington, and his home there in Atlanta are all national parks. And you even have Fort Monroe in Virginia,
right,
that looks at the enslaved people coming and landing there in 1619, there on the shores of Virginia. And so in addition to those, you also have other national parks that have related histories, just like Sequoia and Kings Canyon, where Colonel Young found himself in 1903 as the first superintendent with his regiment of Buffalo soldiers helping to create the trails and roads that we still use today. You have so many other national parks that have history, you know, connected to the Nicodemus, of course, in
right.
Kansas.
Sure.
And then you have the New Bedford Whaling National Historic Site that also has rich history, in addition to the Arch in St. Louis, Jefferson National Expansion Memorial. All of these places have connections to African-American history that we will be talking about not just this month, but we have been including in the American story every day.
You know, this is and I've got to throw this in. You know, I mentioned to you I'm a Tuskegee graduate. I went to Tuskegee University.
Oh,
and
yes.
And I remember when I was there in school, and I'm not going to date myself, but I remember back in school that they had Moton Field. And during that time period, Moton Field was, you know, during my time in school, it was just a bare field. And they had the, you know, maybe just one of the buildings, maybe one or two of the buildings were still around, and we would go out and just kind of drive around, and you know, and it wasn't a historic site at that point in time. But you also had George Washington Carver's museum and everything else. And I remember the National, and they had Booker T. Washington's house. You know, talk to us a lot about sites like that. I mean, you know, especially when you have a site, and maybe the Park Service, because at that time the Park Service wasn't running Moton Field, I don't believe. And they had took a lot of time to restore that kind of stuff. Talk to us about the kind of the, you know, I know with your site right now, you also, you guys just acquired, you know, some of the land and the house for the Charles Young monument and other things like that. What is the process to really kind of, you know, look at a site, say, hey, this is involved in Black history and we've got to acquire this in order to keep this history alive?
So I'm glad you brought up Tuskegee Airmen and the Tuskegee University site, because it is one of the best examples to share about how these amazing stories of African-American history can be found in a community that is nationally known. And so you have communities all over the country who have gone to their congressmen and have told them that these places need to be preserved and that federal dollars need to be committed to protect this rich history. And so you have that happening with the Tuskegee Airmen National Historic Site. You have that happening all over the country. There are times when a president feels the need to just designate a site with the Antiquities Act that Theodore Roosevelt established when he was president. President Obama actually used that to create the national parks that he set aside during his administrations. And so that's how we were able to become a national park, just like the Pullman National Monument in Chicago and a host of other places that he has preserved federal land.
Right.
And these histories that are lesser known and have been hidden, like the Tuskegee story. The Tuskegee story is unique because it tells and is so connected to the theme of Black History Month this month, which is the crisis in Black education.
Mm.
And so you have the historically Black university there that has existed when Booker T. Washington felt the need to create that school, and people came on board to help him, like George Washington Carver, an iconic figure in American history. And so you have these places you can go and see his laboratory where he made his inventions, Dr. Carver.
Right.
And then you have the president of Tuskegee and the founder of that university, Booker T. Washington's home, the Oaks, that you can actually go and visit. And what's good about these places is that they're preserved. If something happens to them, they get preserved with federal dollars, which is very important. And it shows that these sites are just as important as the Grand Tetons, the Statue of Liberty, and even the National Monument, which are iconic images and symbols to this great country that we are a part of.
That's
and
right.
So not only are those places national parks, but also the Tuskegee site, also Charles Young, also the home of Frederick Douglass,
right,
Mary McLeod Bassoon, and Magdalena Walker.
That's right.
So all of these places are just as equally important as all of those iconic sites that we hold dear. And so that's why it's important to get the word out that these places are federally funded and are ours, not just the federal government. They belong to you.
That's right.
All of these places.
And a lot of times, you know, for most of these parks, I mean, the is either free entrance or it's a very, very low cost of entrance to come into these places. So, you know, they're some of the best places to go to if you, you know, say, I take some time and really want to absorb that history.
That is so true. And sometimes it just takes making a phone call and arranging a tour for your church, your school, your Boy Scout troop, you know, your, if you're a homeschool, a mom or dad that does homeschool, these places have curriculum education programs that can help teach young people about the civil rights movement and about patriotism, like Tuskegee does with the, you know, invisible barriers that those men face there.
Sure.
They can be taught as a school program. So that's another thing that I don't think people really know about, that we have curriculum-based programs where students can be taught about these places. We have something called the Parks' Classroom Program, mm-hmm. where students can come to the park and experience, you know, mathematics and science and literature and English and even character education.
Right. You know, when we come back, we got to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to hit upon that theme you just talked about, kind of the crisis in Black education, and talk about,
okay.
you know, what you know, where the Park Service, one, how did you guys come up with that theme? And you know, in terms of looking at it, and it's a very, very timely theme without question. But want to kind of talk about, you know, where the Park Service was thinking about it, especially with the number of different things out there, like the Tuskegee's, but all around the country, a number of HBCUs, like you talked about Little Rock and other things like that. There's all these different themes that really kind of talk about education and Black history and just how far we've come and how far we still have to go in terms of looking at education and just making things better and better and better. We're talking to Dr. Joy Kennard. She is a superintendent of Charles Young Buffalo Soldiers National Monument. She's with the National Park Service. She's been with them for over 20 years, really kind of working for the country, making sure that we preserve our parks, preserve our history, preserve some of the Black history that's out there as well. We're going to keep on talking about this conversation, talking about Black History, Black History Month, and the National Park Service. We'll be right back after this break. You're listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you're just joining us, we have been talking about Black history. February is Black History Month, and we're talking about it in the framework of the National Park Service. The Park Service does a number of different things. They not only do education, but they have a number of different sites that are out there. If you're in D.C., there's a number of different places, the Frederick Douglass Home. If you're, you know, out in Alabama, you've got Tuskegee, the Moton Field, and the home of Booker T. Washington. If you're going out to St. Louis, there are certain sites. If you go out to Ohio, opening in a few years, you got the Charles Young site. They've got all these different sites that are out there celebrating Buffalo Soldiers, celebrating a different, you know, Fort Davis and historic sites like that. There's all these different great sites out there that celebrate Black history, and we're talking about that right now. We're talking to one of the superintendents, Dr. Joy Kennard. She's the superintendent of Charles Young Buffalo Soldiers National Monument, and we're going to talk about the Buffalo Soldiers a little bit later on in the show and really kind of talk about them. But, you know, if you've ever watched some movies, and sometimes people don't know about them as much as maybe Tuskegee or other places, but the Buffalo Soldiers really had a very, very historic kind of landmark, breaking some trails in terms of being soldiers and some people graduating from West Point and other things like that. So we want to learn more about that history as well. Dr. Kennard, you mentioned a theme that really caught my interest in terms of
yes.
The crisis of Black education. Talk to us more about that. One, how did the Park Service come up with that? And then what does that really talk about as it relates to the Park Service in our nation?
Well, Derek, the one thing that we do every year is we take from the national theme for Black History Month, which is created by the Association for the Study of African American Life and History. This is an organization that Dr. Carter G. Woodson, the founder of Black History Month, started in 1926. He started Black History Month. And so this organization that he started in 1916 creates the theme for Black History Month every year. And so what we've done is taken from their national theme, which is the crisis in Black education. And they have amazing symposiums and even a conference annually that looks at the different themes that they have every year. But that's where we got the theme from.
Wow, that's incredible. With the Park Service and kind of looking at certain areas, are there certain parks who are really kind of grabbing onto that? There are certain parks that are really kind of focusing on education and just the change of education in terms of African-Americans receiving certain rights, you know, breaking down the barriers of segregation. Are some of those things kind of talked about and just kind of the changes that have gone through with education, and whether it be urban areas and other areas as well?
Yes. Well, one thing in the Park Service that we've been trying to do is reach out to urban. We have a special urban agenda. We also reach out to different communities. We are actually in communities that are in Title I areas mm-hmm. and the like. And once the reason why people love national parks is because they know with them resources come.
Right.
And so last year and this year, we are doing something called the Every Kid in a Park program. The Every Kid in a Park program is a program where parks go into the schools and get students interested in the national parks. And what happens is we give out free field trip grants to students. The National Park Foundation works with the Disney Corporation and Subaru to fund all over the country special programs called the Every Kid in the Park program. And so through that program, we've been able to look at the crisis in Black education. One thing that we've done at my park is to help the Dayton public school system. Last year, they were the lowest ranked with regard to testing in the state of Ohio. And so we focused on the Dayton public school system last year. Their scores went up. We're happy about that. And this year we're also working with them. And so naturally, when you have these tests, you know, you never know
right.
how students will do. But you've got to give them resources, have congressmen come to their school, let them know that they're smart and they're able and capable. We actually had Director John Jarvis, the director of the National Park Service, come from D.C. to our schools in Dayton, and the students went crazy. It was fantastic. And this year, we're having Daryl Haley, who is a retired NFL player, come to do a Black History Month event, Buffalo Soldiers pep rally in the Dayton school systems.
Wow.
And so we're just trying to educate young people about who we are, what we do, and what they can be. They can be a Charles Young.
That's
they
right.
can be a Benjamin O. Davis. They can be a Frederick Douglass. They can be a Mary McLeod Bethune. But they've got to know that they've got to be educated, and they've got to stick to it.
That's right.
And
you know, Dr. Kanata, and just kind of going off of that point, and you're seeing it up front, and I want to just kind of talk about that. When you see the transformation happen, is it a lot of times, and sometimes in schools, you know, I mean, history books can sometimes not necessarily show Black history the way it should be, and it may just cover it very sparsely or cover certain areas, but maybe not talk about, like you mentioned, the Charles Youngs or the Benjamin O. Davis or you know, Frederick Douglass. When you see a person kind of really kind of come to a park and see that history, do you see the transformation in a young person, just kind of them seeing, does it kind of come alive to them a little bit more?
It does, Derek. It's mind-blowing. It is literally mind-blowing. Last year, and even this year, in working with the young people in the schools, and they've never heard about Colonel Young.
Mm.
You should have seen the pictures they drew.
And they probably never heard about the Buffalo Soldiers. Right?
They never heard about the Buffalo Soldiers mm-hmm. either. But once we came to their schools and the Buffalo Soldiers motorcycle group let them get on their motorcycles and talk to them about the Buffalo Soldiers and taught them how to march and taught them, you know, little chants, you know, that soldiers make in,
right.
you know, when they're walking in their formation. I mean, it created a whole new reality. And so an experience. And so it made learning fun and made them want to be at school. And when we had them come to Colonel Young's home, they could not believe that they were in the space where he slept. Mm. They could not believe they were in the space where he ate.
Right.
They could not believe that they were in the space where he played with his children. They were just in awe. And these are fourth graders.
Right.
And so to take them from their schools into these national parks is a transformative experience. And I don't think people truly understand how we preserve the places where history occurs.
Mm-hmm.
And so for those students in the California area that went to Yosemite for the first time and Sequoia for the first time and even Golden Gate at the Presidio, where they were able to see, you know, places that these Buffalo soldiers, if they knew they couldn't get into these parks without those Buffalo soldiers creating the roads and trails, I mean, what would these iconic sites be like?
Right.
Without
exactly.
The Buffalo soldiers, the first park rangers, really, that protected federal land.
Mm.
And mm. And so you have these men, these black men, now being acknowledged for what they've done to provide public access to national parks during westward expansion.
Right, 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 right. We got to take a quick break. Dr. Kennard, when we come back, I want to keep on talking about this. There's a number of different sites. I want to, you know, to even talk about a little bit more about the history of the Buffalo Soldiers. And I want to talk about a couple other sites that we've talked about in terms of that the National Park Service has under its mandate. And I'm hoping even that you guys are expanding, because, I mean, there's so much black history out there that needs to be preserved. We want to kind of continue and really kind of just really shine a light on that so that people will start preserving these sites and everything else. We're talking to Dr. Joy Kennard. She's superintendent of the Charles Young Buffalo Soldiers National Monument in Ohio. It's coming. It's right now. They've acquired the land. They're now restoring the house. They're getting things together. It's going to be opening up in the next couple of years. But she is one of the superintendents for the National Park Service who has dedicated her life to history, dedicated her life to preserving the history of the United States and preserving black history. And we're talking about that today. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. You're listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Deutsch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
This is Executive Editor Jason Miller. Follow me on Twitter to get the inside track on IT, management, and contracting news that matters the most to federal executives at JMillerWFED.
Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. George on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you're just joining us, we're talking about Black History, talking about Black History Month. The month of February has been designated as Black History Month, and we want to make sure we shed some light on all the contributions that African Americans have made to this country in terms of everything from the military to science to just many, many other contributions that have really established education to civil rights to all the different dynamics that are going on today. And we're talking about this in the framework of the National Park Service. The National Park Service is out there, of course, keeping United States history, but part of that history is that they have certain sites that are definitely for African Americans in terms of the African American history and keeping that history alive with all history that is out there, all Americans and everything else. And we're talking to Dr. Joy Kennard. She's the superintendent of the Charles Young Buffalo Soldiers National Monument. It's going to be in Ohio. It is in Ohio, I should say. They're going to be opening up soon. But she has been given the task to make sure that they get all the history from the Buffalo Soldiers, from Colonel Charles Young, and make sure that all people understand the contributions of him and the Buffalo Soldiers that are out there. Dr. Kennard, we were just talking over the break and kind of talking about being in D.C. And a lot of people will hear this show are in D.C. You know, when we look at D.C., what does the National Park Service have here? I mean, of course, people have heard about the African-American Museum and things of that sort that just really opened up to Smithsonian. But you guys have other areas in terms of the MLK statue. You've got the Frederick Douglass. You've got a number of different spots that are dedicated to African-American history, right?
Derek, you will be shocked to know that there are six national parks that are dedicated to African-Americans in the D.C. area. You've got the African-American Civil War Memorial right on U Street and Vermont Avenue. You have the Carter G. Woodson Home, which will be opening soon on 9th and P, near Shiloh Baptist Church. You have the Frederick Douglass National Historic Site, which was my first national park, which is in Anacostia off of W Street, 14th and W Street.
That was the first national park that you worked at?
That was my first national park in 1994.
Wow.
I worked there as a after my freshman year in college at Livingstone. I worked there throughout my college, got permanent there, and had a wonderful experience. That's where I caught the Park Service bug.
Okay.
And so you've got that site, and of course, the Martin Luther King Jr. Memorial. One other place is extremely dear to me, which is the Mary McLeod Bethune Council House National Historic Site. That site is important to me, Derek, because Mary McLeod Bethune fought for Black women to be not only in the federal government, but to serve in the United States military. And she did so much when she founded the National Council of Negro Women. That was their first headquarters. And she also preserved the history of Black women, which is very, very a highly utilized archive now that's in Landover, Maryland now. It used to be at the home. It's been relocated because it needed to be preserved in a better facility. And so Mrs. Bethune's home is a must-see if you can see it. Her statue is in Lincoln Park, which is the first presidential memorial honoring Abraham Lincoln before Lincoln Memorial was created. But Mrs. Bethune's statue is there on Capitol Hill. It was actually the first the first statue of a African American on federal land.
Wow.
It was before Dr. King's statue. So her story is phenomenal, amazing, and also pretty captivating and compelling.
You know, when I'm thinking about this, and I've been to some of these sites, but I have not been to all of them, and you've just given me the bug to make sure that I get out to each one of them. You know, when we kind of talk about, you know, the one on U Street, the Civil War, I just remember the 54th Massachusetts from the movie From Glory and other things of that sort, and remembering that, and I just remember a certain, you know, I served in the military and the Marines, but some of that, some of that honestly came from the work that you guys did in terms of the history of, you know, I heard about the history of Buffalo Surgeons. I knew about Tuskegee Airmen. I knew about Montford Point Marines. I knew about certain, you know, areas, and that kind of got that bug in me for service. And that's the importance of history in terms of us understanding some of the contribution, the trailblazers and who, you know, who really kind of paved the way so that I wouldn't have discrimination when I went to the Marine Corps, you know, because they came through and did certain things. And that's the power of the work you guys are doing.
You're right, Derek. And thank you for your service, by the way.
Thank you.
The African American Civil War Memorial is a place you've got to go again if you have not been there, because that statue speaks to you. When you see the men there holding their rifles, and then behind them, you'll see this angel and her wings up above them, behind them. And then if you go around the statue, you'll see the family that those soldiers are leaving behind the wings of the angel. And so if you look at that statue with a little bit more time, because I know people go get in the subway and just go where
and just kind of walk past it. They don't really see
it. They walk past it, and they don't realize that every man who served in the U.S. Colored Troops name is right on the memorial wall there.
Oh, wow.
It's just like the
wow.
Vietnam wall there. You can actually see, and they also have this database that the Park Service manages where you can type your last name
mm-hmm.
and see, and it will pop up if you maybe had any relatives
wow.
that was in the served in the colored troops. And so we are doing things like that to help people understand how committed we are to inclusion, mm-hmm. to diversity, and just the overall American history and how we need to incorporate diverse stories that are hidden and untold.
You know, you just brought up something that's really been catchy, because I've seen this going on at different parks where now the Park Service is definitely starting to use a lot more technology, more yeah. interaction, you know, where you can more, you know, have more interaction. But then also, like you said, these databases where maybe you may be a relative to somebody who was part of history at some point in time, right? And you never knew it. And then all of a sudden you pull a name up and you start, wow, I didn't know that. Is this where the Park Service is going in terms of kind of just technology and making it more accessible and making that people can, one, learn more, but then also interact and find out, are they part of that history as well?
We are actually, and you know what I would love to share with you, Derek?
Yeah, please.
You're getting an exclusive. We received funding, some civil rights funding at the Colonel Young home to create a story maps on the computer where students and actually anybody can trace anywhere Colonel Young went, whether it was his home, whether it was where he was born in Kentucky, where he grew up in Ripley, Ohio, which is over an hour away, whether he served in Sequoia, whether he went when he served in the Philippines, Haiti, wherever. We're going to be funding a GIS specialist to actually create a Charles Young Trail. Mm. And this is not new. These actually exist at a lot of Civil War battlefields, at a lot of other national parks where they've kind of gotten the kinks out before we have gotten involved. And so it's really good because people are starting to use GIS and mapping to teach social studies, to teach topography and all of these unique things that, you know, students, and we're actually going to be hiring a crew of college students to work with the GIS specialist to learn about GIS and cultural landscaping and, you know, learning how to create maps.
Right, right, right.
So, yes, we are doing that.
And you know, that's powerful because those are also allowing people to become career ready. GIS and geospatial, you know, whether it be the intelligence community or whether it be private sector, they're using those tools right now. So it's not only allowing you to learn the history, but it's also allowing you to use some tools that can say, listen, I've used this and maybe put on my resume and make your career ready for other things.
Exactly. And the reason why that's so important to us is because Colonel Young drew maps. When he was at West Point, he was taught how to do that. He did it for the Army. And so when he goes to Liberia and when he goes to Haiti, he is drawing maps. And some of these maps are still being used in the Pentagon today.
Wow.
And so this activity, this connection is so very connected to who we are and what we talk about when we look at, you know, Colonel Young and who he was and what he did and the legacy he leaves behind of excellence and intelligence.
I'll take a quick break, Dr. Kennard. When we come back, I want to talk about, one, your museum, and I want to talk about a little bit about your story. You've got an interesting story where you've been to the Park Service, and you've got that Park Service bug, but I think we need to also celebrate what you guys are doing. I want to hear about, you know, your journey and also talk about the, you know, in terms of just other people who may be interested in the Park Service. They may kind of also catch that bug like you did, because we're going to need, you know, the next generation to kind of come aboard and continue to keep this history alive. So we want to talk about that. We've been talking to Dr. Joy Kennard. She is the superintendent of one of the newest parks out there, the Charles Young Buffalo Soldiers National Monument. It's in Ohio. We're going to hear a little bit more about that very, very soon. But we're talking about Black History, Black History Month. We're talking about what the National Park Service is doing to celebrate and honor Black History. We'll be right back after this break. You're listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you're just joining us, we have been having a really, really interesting conversation, a great conversation about Black History Month. February is Black History Month, and we really want to kind of begin honoring and celebrating it on Federal News Radio, just kind of taking a look at what's going on that's out there in terms of different agencies that are doing work in terms of Black history. There have been a number of African Americans who served in federal government who've done things, whether it be the military or NASA or the Park Service or wherever. But they've done a number of different things to contribute to this country and the greatness of this country. We're talking to Dr. Joy Kennard. She is the superintendent of Charles Young Buffalo Soldiers National Monument. And she is out there trying to make sure that the history of not only all African-Americans, but now she's out there trying to make sure the Buffalo Soldiers history is being noticed and restored and really kind of brought to light about the importance work they have done. Dr. Kennard, tell us a little bit about your museum and the Buffalo Soldiers, and then I want to actually talk about you. But tell us about what you're doing, where you're at.
Derek, I manage a national park, the Charles Young Buffalo Soldiers National Monument, which is located in Wilberforce, Ohio. It's between Columbus and Dayton, Ohio, and it's where Colonel Young lived with his family. He was the first African-American to be a colonel in the U.S. Army. He was the third African-American to graduate from West Point. He was the first African-American military attaché, and he was the first African-American to create an ROTC program at a historically Black college, which was Wilberforce University in 1894. Mm-hmm. He was also the first superintendent of the Sequoia and Kings Canyon National Historical Park in California. And he's actually served, of course, he served in the Philippines, Haiti, Liberia, Nigeria, Cuba. He received the Spingarn Medal, and he's also buried with his wife in Arlington Cemetery. Derek, he was the most legendary Buffalo soldier that existed. He was such an incredible force. He gained so much respect from so many people. Of course, he had invisible barriers placed in his way. But the reason that this home is so important is not only does it look at his story, but the story of the Buffalo Soldiers. And if you notice, the site has kind of two names. It's the Charles Young, and then it's the Buffalo Soldiers National Monument. And so we look at the Buffalo Soldiers. We look at them and when they went out to Yosemite and Sequoia and the Presidio to protect those places during westward expansion from poachers and timber thieves and to provide access to these national parks by creating roads and trails that we still use today. Buffalo Soldiers did that, and they garnished their name from Native Americans out there in the plains of the West. And so in 1866, Congress establishes six all-Black regiments that were created to rebuild the country after the Civil War to fight on the Western frontier. Of course, they interacted with Indians. Sometimes it wasn't so great, but we talk about the good and the bad stories.
So
this is what we talk about and what we will be when we fully open, what we will be have our exhibitions focusing on the Buffalo Soldiers, what they did, who they were, the people that you don't know much about. And then we will also look at Colonel Young, his impact here in Wilberforce and around the world.
Right. Dr. Kennard, talk about your career real quick and talk about the Park Service in terms of, you know, the careers, your career, but the Park Service in terms of careers and just maybe a word or so in terms of if there are young people out there who would say, who may listen to this or, you know, that say, hey, I want to look at the Park Service.
Derek, My uncle, William Kennard, was one of the first black park rangers in the National Park Service. In 1962, he was recruited with over 30 African-Americans from HBCUs in the professional series of the Park Service. And so he worked at the Grand Teton, and he used to talk to me and my sisters about his experiences. And I think I was the only one who listened. And so after my freshman year at Livingstone, where he also went, he said, Joy, I got you a job for the summer. You're going to be working at the Douglas home. And, you know, of course, I went because I didn't have a job.
Right.
And I fell in love. I mean, this was a job that they paid me to talk to people about Frederick Douglass.
Right.
Someone I grew up going to the Frederick Douglass home. Hmm. When it was hot, I went in there to steal some of the air conditioning.
Right.
And, you know, would hear those tours almost every summer. Me and my sisters would roller skate up and down the hill there, Cedar Hill. And so to go there and be part of the community and have grown up with the story of Douglass, having just such a reverence to him and what he did, to work there was one of the best opportunities I ever had. It really helped me to think critically about what I can accomplish.
Mm-hmm.
And so we actually have internships that are available to students. I actually employ 7 students at the Colonel Young home. 4 are from Wilberforce University and 3 are from Central State University.
Mm-hmm.
Here in the Wilberforce community. We have 2 HBCUs here that on weekends I have the students working, and we also will have summer internships available too. But I would just encourage parents and young people to look at national parks, volunteer. See if you like it. We have every job available, whether it be communications, talking to people about things. We have web design. We have people who are biologists. We have people who are archaeologists, people who preserve documents and all of these amazing places. And so there are so many opportunities that can be found in the Park Service. And I didn't even know until my uncle looked out for me and was my professional mentor.
Right,
and
right.
So we've got to do more of that for our young people. And so that's what I'm trying to do here in Wilberforce, Ohio.
You know, one, I just want to thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for your service. Thank you for all the work that you have been doing. Thank you for preserving the history. We're going to keep this conversation going. So this is not going to be the first time I'm going to call upon you, Dr. Kennard, because there's so much that we've got to learn about the history. We got to embrace it, you know, all of our history, United States, but all of our black history as well. So I just want to thank you for being on the show and thank you for exposing. You've opened my eyes a lot more. I know about the Park Service, so I'm encouraging everybody to get out to the Park Service, go to nps.gov, learn about the parks, learn about what's going on, get out, embrace that history. And again, thank you.
Thank you so much.
You've been listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show or any of our weekly programs anytime at federalnewsradio.com. Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.